And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny. Whatever you want to say, I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we are firmly convinced that creating success and happiness is rooted in understanding the ultimate nature of reality and the fact that as human beings, we are all immensely powerful fractals of the one and only source consciousness, which creates and animates all things. Now, of course, understanding this powerful truth is one thing. Applying this incredibly empowering wisdom to everyday life? Well, that's another. Which is exactly why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. To help constantly remind you of what matters most. You are it. And I'm your host, Brandon Beecham. I'm the one who will be here with you each and every Wednesday, interviewing a different consciousness changemaker that is also out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can hear me discussing topics such as my favorite thought-provoking quotes, reading and discussing wisdom from empowering books, playing clips from various inspirational spiritual teachers, sharing a bit of mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and essentially digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you into positive vibrations on a consistent basis. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode of the Positive Head Podcast. I think that's what it's called, isn't it? Erica Middlebiss is here with me. Is that what it's called? Yes, yes,
hello,
yes, I remember now.
Called. Positive Head Podcast, indeed.
I have a little help today. Erica decided to bless us with her presence. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yes, it's good to have you. And we've got some listener questions to address and, of course, some reviews to read. I'm happy to say I have a review almost every time. I remember when I first started getting reviews, it'd be like, oh, every few days I'd get one, you know. And now I have reviews to read almost every day, and I am very, very grateful and appreciative of that. So thank you guys for taking the time to go on to iTunes. Yeah, it is really awesome. It fuels this labor of love and helps us to reach new people, as you know. So if you haven't reviewed on iTunes, please do. This particular one is from Lila Hum, and the title is A Beautiful Reflection. It's a pretty lengthy one. Let's see here. I've been meaning to write a review for a while, and episode 334 finally catapulted me to make it a reality. I've been part of the Positive Head community for a long time and wear my Positive Head bracelet around my ankle every day as a reminder to keep my focus aimed in a positive direction. The students at my growing yoga studio have asked about it, as they often look to me for bits of wisdom to get them through the week. I've used some of the topics from the podcast in my classes, and I'm proud to say that I've seen as a lighthouse of love in this community and many others. Despite this, and despite having a pretty thorough understanding of the laws of the universe regarding energy and how it manifests in our lives, enough to teach it, like so many of us, I still struggle with it in the day-to-day as I find myself playing the comparison game, logging onto Facebook and Instagram. I'm a yoga teacher over 40 and doing very well for my age, but some days seeing the highlights of other yogis' young lives, their great bodies, and worldwide adventures is overwhelming enough to stagnate my progress. There's so many beautiful people out there, so radiant, so joyful. The funny part is, I'm very well traveled and fit myself. My life has been full of adventure, and I'm sure others have looked at the highlights, keyword highlights, on my page and felt the same way. Then I listened to this episode. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you for the reminder that we truly are all just reflections of each other, and the more beautiful things we're seeing reflected at us, the more beautiful we must be, inside and out. As usual, I needed to hear this message today. You are truly a beautiful reflection of us all. Blessings to you, and thank you so much for this Labor of Love podcast. Keep up the great work. Aw.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's so good, and I know a lot of people can probably relate, Lila Hum, with this whole perspective, and Facebook and Instagram and these things have caused a lot of those sorts of feelings with people. And I just recommend continuing to move into, first off, that perspective. You're absolutely right. It's all reflections. Whatever you're seeing in your world is a reflection in some way, shape, or form. The other thing is when you fully move into the understanding that you're an eternal being and time is an illusion, you've always been and always will be, you're not 40. You just incarnated in the physical dimension 40-ish years ago, right? You're eternal. So if you see someone that's younger, quote unquote, they're not younger. They incarnated in the physical more recently. Now, granted, I don't claim to have access to infinite knowledge at this point, like all access to, you know, when did they break off from source versus when did you do, when you did. And of course, that gets into this whole concept of an old soul versus a young soul. But at the end of the day, we're all very, very, very old and simultaneously very, very, very young. Age is a number. You can see 90-year-olds that, you know, are like they're 15. You can see 15-year-olds that are like they're 90. I mean, it's, you know, it's sort of this mentality. As someone who's always resonated with being youthful, I know I'll be that 120-year-old that is like a little boy in a lot of ways, in a good way. And so this is actually the book that I have written and sort of put aside for now that I will release at some point. The Fountain of You is all about this, you know, and people understanding this. Throw away these ideas of it. And certainly we're not our parents 40 years old. I mean, you're at a point where science and spirituality are emerging in such a way when you understand that you're infinite and you look at what's happening with scientific progress. I mean, all bets of what it means to be 40 or 50 or 80 are out the window. It's, you
totally
know,
off. Speaking of 40, turned 40 on Monday. So, and
there
you know
you
what?
Go.
I feel like I'm 18 inside. So really just a number. And that comparison game never works out well for anyone.
Right. That is the fat, as I say in that episode, if I recall, you know, that's the fast track to misery. Right. And when we move beyond that, then, you know, obviously you start having the experiences that Lila Hum's having here, which is appreciation instead of resentment or, you know, feeling, using it as a reason to feel bad about oneself. So thank you for sharing. And any of you guys who haven't done so yet, please do. You can also find the show now on Google Play. Please subscribe there. I don't think they have a review set up, but if you subscribe, that should help us reach new people there. And of course, we always love getting your questions as well. And you can send those in via positivehead.com or connect on the Facebook group, Positive Heads. We recently made it a private group just because some people wanted a little more privacy with the questions they were asking and sort of opening up and not wanting other friends to see. So, yeah, just request to join up there. And, of course, we'll love to have you and let you in our little ever-growing, lovely group.
It's been our family.
Yeah, exactly. It's been really, really fun to watch it grow and see people connecting in real life. And just, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Speaking of questions, we have a little bit of a question here that we want to address today, or a lot of bit of a question. And this came in from Callum Bell Bell. And she wrote in, this won't be a new quote or idea for many of us here. And that is, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but rather spiritual beings having a human experience. But I'm interested in hearing thoughts on the implications of that. Since we are here to have a human experience, why would it then be so important for us to pursue a spiritual path? Surely we don't need to discover our own spiritual truth since it's all that we really are. We're here to find out what it's like to need to eat food, love, lose, worry, create, inspire, disappoint, and all the rest of the full spectrum of living here on Spaceship Earth. I'm aware that in order to do this very thought experiment, we have to use our egoic, rational mind. But my point is, if I didn't want one to play around with, surely I wouldn't have rented a body which came with one. Why use this opportunity to be imperfect as a means to looking for the perfection that we are the rest of the time anyway? Why go on holiday to somewhere sunny if you're just going to stay inside? Why rent a bike if you're planning on driving every day? Any thoughts? Good question, huh?
Very, very, very good question. And I think this is a question that a lot of people have. What are we doing here? What's the whole point of
it? Yeah. And she's even taken it a step further and said, hey, look, not only what are we doing here, but I know that I'm coming from sort of perfection on the other side, or believe that I'm coming from perfection, what why do this? Like, it doesn't, you know, it's sort of pointless. And of course, I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I'm sure you do as well. You want to take a first crack at it?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that came to mind is actually something that I heard in my own QHHT past life regression session. And and basically what I was told was simply because knowing doesn't feel. And because up there on the spirit side, however you want to call it, you know everything, but it's a book knowledge. So it's like this. If you were to read a book on how to fix a car, you could read that whole book. You would know all about how to fix a car.
Right.
But you wouldn't be able to get your hands in the car and actually work on it and do all of that yourself. So to Earth is the doing, is being able to hear and actually do it, having that experience.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I would say, yeah, this is God. We're God-godding, right? This is the experiential aspect of what it is. It's all these things, theoretically, like it is love. You know, ultimately, you would say God, source, higher self equals love, right? But then that means nothing if that's all there is, right? If there's only one of us and it is love, that's the same as being nothing. So in a sense, I've heard it said, and Osho, I've heard Osho talk about this in a way that's really sort of almost unnerving, because he talks about how God sort of comes forth out of nothingness, and that's sort of the source. So it is it all and it is nothing simultaneously. And I believe that's kind of what he's meaning by it, and what feels true to me is it is at its purest point, it's the same as being nothing, because there's no context, right? So we want context, we want contrast. So why come here and have those? Certainly we came to have eat food and love and lose and worry and create and all those things. But what we're trying to also do is create all the shades in between, all the variations of experience, all the different ways. You know, it's one thing to come here and be completely asleep and lost in the ego. And yeah, the ego serves its purpose in the physical for sure. I believe it's mostly here to help us kind of guide us into, you know, make sure it's sort of the knowledgeable part of self when it comes to the physical dimension, right? But what's happened with a lot of people, it's taken over and become, it's sort of in the driver's seat, when really the way we set up the game was to have spirit sort of help drive in this merging, this melding between the two. And so we've come here and you look at our ancestors and they're completely asleep. A lot of, you know, our own, you know, we can go back one generation or two generations, right? And it's completely asleep, completely sleepwalking and having the experience completely cut off as you know, Callum's talking about here. But, you know, just like anything else, you want to expand on that right now. What is it like as if we understand more of our, we bring in more of our spiritual side, more of this broader knowledge? And then what is the experience like? And really, it's merging. And the separation between the two is really sort of illusory to begin with, I would say, right? So it's not like, yeah. It's not really truly like there and here. It's just, you know, yes on one hand and no on another. It's like it's all the same stuff. This is a thought form, a manifestation of that spirit wanting to experience matter. And yeah, so actually we have a little video here that we wanted to share that is Abraham talking about it. It's pretty short, and it's called How Humans Got to Earth. I found it on the Dream Unity 333 YouTube page. Take a listen.
We're on vacation and we came up through Medicine Wheel and saw Yellowstone and like a sort of different perspective on the Earth. And like the Medicine Wheel has been there hundreds, if not thousands of years. And my question is, man, where did we come from? Were we brought to this planet, or how did the human race end up here on this planet Earth?
Our answer to this will be very direct with you, but it is often from where you now stand out here on this far, 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 far leading edge. It's not often satisfying because it's hard to get your thoughts around all of that. But let's start by saying that matter or manifestation is advanced thought. In other words, there is thought, and then there is thought form, and then there is manifestation. And of course, there are millions of incremental steps in between all of that, but that's the general process. There is thought, and then thought form, which you would call illusion or even dream state. And then there is manifestation. And all manifestation is energy that is being translated from many perceivers at the same time who concur about what they are perceiving. Do you get that? So, for example, as you look at Esther's body with the inhabitant of Abraham pouring through, you might see energy around her that some might not see. Are you getting any picture of this energy around? Now, everyone who walks in the room does not see that. And so you are seeing or utilizing your eyes to interpret vibration a little differently than the majority. And so we would say that this energy that some of you are perceiving would be more like thought form because everyone doesn't see it. But if enough were to see it, that almost all would agree that they are seeing it, then there would be a sort of manifestation. It would be sort of like a friendly Casper, the friendly ghost. It could actually be a form that would appear to be as solid as this. Right now, it's just light energy. So there is thought, and there is thought form, and then there is manifestation. Manifestation is always in the eye of the beholder. So this time-space reality that everyone is perceiving is nothing more than vibrational interpretation. So the thought form of that which is man was set forth from broader perspective and has continued to evolve by the experience of those who were having the experience here on the planet. And what you actually see as man or human is vibrational interpretation. Now, did man come from ape? No, man was a different idea. So, how does the idea of evolution occur? And we say, because the idea of each species was set forth, and as the experience of the species is lived, the idea expands. So the expansion is happening from the leading edge place, and is supported from the source energy that flows everywhere the idea goes.
So our source energy at one time may have been in the dinosaur, and it changed our energy that we are today. It may have taken different forms at different times, and then we...
Well, it is sort of like that, but that is not specifically what we are saying. The source energy that was in the dinosaur was intended to be exactly what it was. And while the same source energy flows to the dinosaur and flows to your dog and flows to you, there is different intention with different energy that has flowed. In other words, the energy that is the embodiment of physical man is specific energy unto physical man. In other words, it is the intent of the energy that makes the difference, you see. And so Jerry wrote a title for one of the cassettes years ago, which really expressed what we're trying to say to you here in as clever and well of words as anything that we've ever seen coined, when he said, "A snake is not a disabled lizard." In other words, and an ape is not an inferior man. In other words, the balance of the species is all intended for the balance of the whole. And source energy is joyously experiencing all of that. And all of it is here for the expansion of creation, but creation is happening in the mind of the dog just like it's happening in the mind of the man. So to get back to your initial question, which we think is a very good one, we have to say, your question is, how did human get here? And we say, human got here the same way dirt got here, the same way the earth itself got here, the same way the dog got here, the same way that everything that is physical got here. It was a thought that was pondered long enough that became form, and then pondered long enough that it became manifestation. And the only reason that it is manifestation is because other perceivers of it are perceiving it as manifestation. The real question here is, what's real? How real is this? Well, from your framework, it's pretty darn real. You can hear how real it is. Hear how real it is. This thing is real. But it is only real, we are pounding on the podium for those listening in later. It is only real because your ears interpret the vibration into sound and your eyes interpret it into, in other words, it is only real because your interpreters interpret it as real. It's the best we can do with that one.
Okay. So yeah, Erica, you know, I believe, as always, Abraham kind of sums it up well. It's like, so we are thought, and that's sort of what we are. We're consciousness on that other side. But then that consciousness, once, you know, it's like, oh, okay, as it solidifies, as it crystallizes, then, you know, thought form, then manifestation. And we're just, as Abraham said, we're just the vibrational interpretation of that thought form.
Yes, exactly. I like to think of that thought, that original thought, as infinity, intelligent infinity, becoming aware of itself, which is, I learned that reading the Law of One, but for me, that was a pretty mind-blowing concept. Like, what was the first thing in creation? Infinity. And then what happened next? Infinity became aware. And from that point on, spiraling and spiraling out, like Abraham was saying, learning from the prior experience. So each progressive evolution then learns from the experiences of the last.
Right. Right. It when you start, it's, you know, it's like, I think I heard it in another Abraham video. I can't remember if it was this one, because I listened to this one, you know, a little bit ago, or another one that I had listened to, where she said, you know, it's kind of like you can have all the ingredients for a cake, and by themselves, they're not, you know, they're not really that great, but you mix them together and it makes this wonderful product. The sum is greater than the equal parts. And that's the sort of thing that we're doing here, right? It is these great ideas, this consciousness is all these things, but now I want a context to experience it. And now, as I bring in some of that broader awareness from the other side, it gives it a richer, more full and meaningful sort of taste, right?
Yeah, absolutely does. You know, another thing that I thought of when I was listening to that Abraham clip was, you know, when we do come here, we have a kind of a blueprint that our higher self sets up for us. And we have little signposts, things that we want to accomplish. But then there's free will involved. We can choose to take that signpost or not. And we can spend our life going around a maze, never finding the point that we need to find, just from not listening and not being present. You know.
Right.
You can get confused.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it is, you know, why she said, why use this opportunity to be imperfect as a means to looking for perfection that we are the rest of the time anyway? It's like, actually, this is, you know, I can see why she's saying we're imperfect, but it's perfectly imperfect. It's all perfection. All of the time, and the veil between the two is really illusory. So you're in it right now. So it's like, it's really the separation itself is the grand illusion. And that's all we're doing here. That's why we're taking down the illusion of the separation between this side and the other. And that's a lot of times what you hear said that's happening with this, you know, spiritual awakening that's happening on the planet, is the veil is coming down. The veil is coming down. We're merging with the next dimension, more and more synchronistic experiences, more and more magical experiences. I mean, now I talk to people all the time who, oh yeah, I talk to spirits, and, you know, someone messaged me earlier, oh, I'm going to talk to my spirit guides today. Oh, you know, I just talked to my dead father. It's like, it's becoming like not even that weird, right?
And remembering. So, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
More
right.
And more, so this we is, remember.
So this is the only, Callum, you know, it's the only game in town, so to speak, to create these different ways of viewing the same thing. And that's all that this is. It's just one more way of viewing the same exact thing. And hopefully that helps in some way to give you some perspective or insight. Yeah, otherwise we are running out of imaginary time here, it looks like. Miss.
We are.
It goes so fast, doesn't it?
Sure does. Blink of an eye.
Sure does. Sure does.
The illusion of time.
The illusion of time. Well, there was a song that sort of synchronistically popped up as I was looking at what to talk about today. There was a song that came up on my timeline, and it was called Our Game, and it's by Yama, Y-A-I-M-A. Beautiful, beautiful song, and I think it's speaking a little bit to this topic. Before we leave you with this track, Erica, why don't you tell people how they can connect with you? Because you mentioned QHHT, and, you know, in case people are ever interested in having a session or in your neck of the woods or want to learn more.
Yeah, great. So you guys, you can go to my website, which is drerica.org or thewellnessstudioaz.com, or you can always email me here at erica@positivehead too. That'll be fine.
All right. Yes, Erica is so lovely and gracious and helps with scheduling and coming on the show from time to time and bringing some feminine energy. And so I want to just thank you, live and direct here for all your efforts and hard work helping to make the Positive Head more positive.
Oh, thank you so much. I love being here. This is so much fun for me to do every single day and participate and just be a part of this family and this movement, really.
Yes, it is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yes.
With that being said, I'll leave you all with Our Game by Yama. Hope you love it as much as I do. It's such a beautiful track. Enjoy.
Till next time, everybody.
How they suffered with narrow eyes and twice.